기억나?
David Spinoptorp here with Stefan Biankowski, and down the line from Spain is Ross Dunbar. We're going to be previewing, rather than looking back on the international break like we've done in the past, we're actually going to be previewing the biggest game of the season so far, which is the Clásico between Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich. That game's going to be on Saturday evening, German time, so Saturday afternoon, or depending on where you're listening. But this game is actually very different than other fall games because it seems like this is a must. The points mean much more in this game in previous games that they have in recent seasons. Because if you look at the table real quick, Leipzig, of course, is still tied with Bayern Munich at the top, and Borussia Dortmund. If they lose, they could be really far behind on the title race. So let's start with just, I mean, the narrative of this game is very different.
Yeah, I mean, I think actually maybe the build-up's maybe a bit more muted than normal, just because people in Germany are still getting used to the fact that it's not the top two right now. I mean, I think, like we said last week, if people are listening at home want to look up like the way the table looked last season at this stage and where it looks now, it's completely different. You had Bayern at the top, like 7 or 8 points past Dortmund, yeah. And Dortmund were like notably ahead of third place. Now you have Dortmund are actually closer to Bayern than they were at the stage last season, but mm-hmm. there are what, 3-4 teams in between? Mm-hmm. And obviously we have Leipzig who've matched Bayern point for point so far this season. So I'm interested in the fact that you know, it's not going to be a simple case of whoever wins this game, you know, has the momentum to win the league, because there's so many more factors involved now.
Yeah, I mean, because we said at the start of the season that, I mean, we all, Russ, if you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we all expected to this be once again a two-horse race. And I think this is a game that a lot of people circled. And I think that's telling that it's muted coming into this game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, at the start of the season, I actually thought it would be Leverkusen in second place. Kind of that would be the kind of narrative for the season, but with Dortmund, this is it's a massive game because they genuinely could be back in contention if they win this game. Now, that's easier said than done. I mean, all over Thomas Tuchel's record, we've been saying that, you know, if Dortmund were to beat Bayern, it would be a different kettle of fish, but I genuinely think this is a massive game, not just for Dortmund in terms of this season, but I think for the coach to really, I don't know, assert his kind of dominance over the league. I mean, he's not obviously not been able to beat Bayern yet as a Dortmund coach in actual competitive games. So this is a massive game for them. And yeah, in terms of the title race, I think we just talked about just before we came on air, I mean, the dynamics of the league are quite peculiar at the moment. Bayern obviously are in first gear, and I personally haven't been that impressed with them at all. I think they've been quite lucky in a lot of games. They've managed to sneak through and get the points because of, you know, the individual quality that they've had. I think Robert Lewandowski has scored something like 4 of the last 5 goals in all competitions. So yeah, I mean, from Dortmund's point of view, being able to at least peg Bayern back to 3 points, it's a massive significance at this point of the season.
Yeah, because keep in mind, this is a home game for Dortmund. I mean, they're supposed to be in front of their yellow wall, they're supposed to be invincible. And they already haven't been this season against other teams. So how are they expected to be invincible against Bayern if they can't even beat other teams at home?
Yeah, I think what Dortmund fans were taking you know, hope from is that the pressure really just isn't on Dortmund right now. I don't think the fans put pressure on Tuchel to really challenge for the title this season, considering the players he lost this summer. I don't think the club do either. I think they'd be very happy as long as he can finish second, although that was probably a stance that was held before Leipzig came along. Mm-hmm. And I think that to a certain extent will probably suit Dortmund. Now, I know it's a different kettle of fish when they're playing in front of the yellow wall against Bayern Munich.
But that's the thing. Even though they have not, they seem like a developing club. I think, Ross, you said that a bunch of times, that you already didn't expect them to make a title run because they're trying to rebuild after losing 3 key players. But this is still Bayern. This is still a team that their fans are expecting them to be at least competitive with.
I think if you take Dortmund in a one-off game, I think they've certainly got more than enough to make life really difficult for Bayern. And as I was saying, Bayern are obviously still in first gear, and I don't really know how this international break is going to affect Ancelotti's preparations, because you know there's been a lot of analysis in Germany about you know where Bayern have maybe gone wrong this season, and how Ancelotti's side have still got teething problems. And this is a huge opportunity for Dortmund to come out all guns blazing. I mean, that's the kind of way I'm looking at it coming into this game on Saturday. I could see Dortmund coming out, real aggression, real intensity. And we saw that even against you know a team as poor as Hamburg. Dortmund, even when they went 1-0 up, 2-0 up, they still went after it. They still went after more goals. And that was a sign of a team that they just had this inherent hunger. And I think I'm really curious to see how Bayern cope with that intensity, because I think that's the one kind of standout thing for me watching Ancelotti's teams compared to Guardiola. Ancelotti's placed a lot of importance on defensive transitions, getting you know what you do without the ball, and they've been really slow. They've been really slow to get into a strong shape. And if you look at a team like Hoffenheim last week,
Well,
sorry, 2 weeks
sure,
ago.
but let's stay on Bayern, let's stay on Dortmund here for now, because I'm curious, does Tuchel have the right team to beat this Bayern team? Even because it seems like they are, like you said, they're slower in their build-up, but does Tuchel have the right players to take advantage of that right now?
Absolutely, yeah. In a one-off game, I think Dortmund are a match for any side, and I think obviously the
Because
injury
he has a lot of
situation.
pieces that he's trying to move into the right place. And it seems like, I don't know if he knows what his best team is. And this is the kind of game where you need to put your best team out there.
I don't think he has to. I think he needs to have 14, 15 players that could play within one system. I mean, I don't think football is a case of, well, you have 11 players and that's it. I think you need to have 12, 13, 14 players. I think you need to, you know, look how important the subs are going to be. I mean, that'll be interesting to see how they use the depth in the game, because they do have options. They do have options certainly with Pulisic, Dembele, Emery Moore. Whether these guys are going to be capable of making a big impact in that type of game really does remain to be seen. But obviously, with Schmelzer perhaps being fit again, that's a massive boost for Dortmund, because I think he was a bit of a loss. When he dropped out, huge leader of the team, and obviously has been performing really, really well. So I think Dortmund have got the players to take on Bayern on Saturday. It's just important, I think, that they. I think when you watch teams playing against Bayern, getting the first goal is always the really important thing. I know that's a massive cliche to say that, but
Yeah, well,
it's really.
because you mentioned it there, that you mentioned all of the young players that haven't, some of them have played in this type of game before, Stefan. But like Ross said, Marcel Schmelzer really is, and maybe and Socrates, they're really the only two players. And it might not even be Julian Weigl. Those Socrates and Schmelzer, they're really the only two players that knows how to deal with the intensity of this game.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe include Aubameyang in that to a certain
Yes,
extent.
of course, yeah.
But you're right. I mean, we've spoke about it quite a lot this season in terms of the kind of real youthful nature of this team. I mean, we saw Leverkusen set up properly and really frustrate this Dortmund team. We saw Schalke do the same. Now, to a certain extent, Leverkusen and Schalke would have quite happily considered themselves the underdogs against Dortmund, so they were able to set up and frustrate. I don't think Bayern are going to be like that, but I think there's a legitimate question mark over where this team can perform the way Ross is suggesting it can, because for a start, their home record in the league right now is absolutely atrocious. They've picked up maybe like 11 points
Yeah.
from 5 games. I mean,
Like
just look.
I said before, if they can't beat those teams, how are they going to get all the points that they need against Bayern?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking down the
I think
list there.
that's quite harsh. I mean, they drew with Hertha, who are 3, 4 points off the top, and they drew 0-0 with Schalke, who are what, 10, 11 games unbeaten.
Yeah, but then that Freiburg game, that 3-1 game, was actually much closer than the scoreline suggests. And then after that, there was really a Darmstadt. While away from home, they're thumping Legia Warsaw, they're thumping Wolfsburg. They're beating Sporting in Lisbon. I don't know. I'm not saying that Dortmund don't have the quality to challenge Bayern, but I just think playing in front of the yellow wall doesn't really seem to give them any great advantage.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously Dortmund is gonna. I think they're probably going to be the underdogs going into this game. But like we said, they're not huge underdogs because Bayern, Ross, like you said, they've been slow in their transitions. Jerome Boateng said it several times that they're still adjusting under a new coach. But this is, I mean, under Guardiola, they had an emphasis. They had this dominance that they don't seem to have right now. It seems Bayern seems to have this transition narrative rather than this dominant narrative that they had under Pep Guardiola. Is that going to change things in this game that we have in this game that has been so important in the last few years?
I think if Bayern fans were hoping for that, then it probably went out the window when Arturo Vidal picked up his injury on international duty. For those who may not be savvy to such things, he picked up a knock while away on international duty with Chile and decided to play through it
Yeah, Bayern were very upset with
yeah,
that.
on Tuesday night's game. Who did Chile B play on Tuesday, Ross?
Uruguay.
Uruguay, sorry, yeah, okay, I knew you'd know that.
Yeah.
So I think if we were looking to see some sort of emblance of the Bayern team under Pep Guardiola that routinely beat Dortmund,
They don't have one of their key
they don't have
players.
Vidal, they might not have Martinez either, who's probably the other, you know, is probably one of the most underrated players Bayern have, I think, especially in games like this where they can get quite feisty. And if there's a midfield duo of Alonso, Alcantara, and maybe David Alaba, I think Dortmund would be quite lucky, not lucky, but I think Tuchel will be looking at that trio
Yeah.
and thinking we can definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah, so Bayern have a lot of injuries. I mean, obviously Stefan mentioned one of them. We're not going to probably get into that, but we know that this team that might come to the field is not maybe maybe not may not be their best team. But Ross, is that going to make a difference? Is that is I mean is the fact that they might not have their starting defenders, is that going to make a difference in the game?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it would. I mean, I know you were saying that Dortmund are underdogs, but I think in a one-off game, I would put the two teams probably at level right now. I mean, I know that's quite a weird thing to say with Dortmund 6 points off Bayern, but Bayern have been really, really not impressive at all in the Bundesliga. And I think that kind of contrast between Dortmund's kind of intensity and pace and Bayern's lackadaisical nature so far in the season, and that's
One of the
quite
players that I
typical.
thought would bring that back actually was Arjen Robben, and when he came in the Champions League, they had that big win against PSV Eindhoven. They obviously had a pretty strong as pretty as it was a struggling win in the second game in Eindhoven, but still they had more of an intent when he was on the field. But then they lost it again. They lost it again against Hoffenheim. So I'm curious if he can't get any. I mean, who knows if he's going to be available, first of all. But if even he can't get the team going, who in this team is going to get this team to actually like really push in the Bundesliga again?
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate question because Kingsley Coman is also out injured. He's one of the confirmed ones out for a couple of months. There are legitimate problems up front for Bayern. I said on the pod a few times this season that although Lewandowski is scoring goals, he doesn't look like his old self. Thomas Müller just looks as though he's in Groundhog Day with his form, in terms of the fact that, for international duty, he seemed to get into a bunch of bother. Complained about having to play against San Marino. He said, "I could get injured playing for this against this amateur team."
Yeah, but those are the type of games that could like also get him back to his scoring ways too. So I was also surprised when I saw he completely dismissed a game like San Marino. And that I think that's basically if he has that kind of mentality, like that kind of mentality just looks really bad.
Yeah, he also said that after the last Bundesliga game that he felt the expression he ha I have shit on my foot or something, like
Yeah.
in the sense that he just can't put a foot, can't make a right step at the moment. So I don't think Bayern will be looking to Thomas Müller for inspiration, although he's the kind of player who can step up in the most unlikely situation. But I mean, it's quite telling actually. Now I know Bayern have played two less away games than they have played home games, but they still scored twice as many goals at home than they have on the road. So, I think I wouldn't go so far as to say that on paper both Dortmund and Bayern look even for Saturday's match. But I think in terms of maybe form, it's much
Yeah,
closer
much closer than people think.
because of the two teams. I don't think either of them are particularly at full gear. But I think we've seen Dortmund look like they're at their best more than we have seen Bayern so far this season.
Ross, is it just intensity that's the problem, or do you see something else that is making Bayern not perform at the level that we are familiar with?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of reasons. I mean, obviously, I think most of us expected a kind of drop off after Guardiola left. That's been a little bit compounded a little bit with injuries and different factors. A lot of games, especially that they've had. But Ancelotti is obviously trying to implement a very different style of play. I mean, Guardiola was very keen on the nuanced details. He, you know, obviously has a positional play mentality, which is really complex and really hard to get the players to understand. And Ancelotti, on the other hand, doesn't approach with that model. He's more of a man manager and obviously wants to take the shackles off the players and allow them to be a little bit more expressive in the last third. And you could almost argue that that's the amount of effort that Guardiola put into those fine details and those fine movements in the last third. Obviously, it proved dividends. And with Ancelotti, I don't think we've seen that yet. We've not really seen Bayern, they're not letting them function really well as a collective. And obviously, that was the argument that Ancelotti would come in, be a little bit less intense, and Bayern would be stronger towards the end of the season because they wouldn't be so drained by a presence like Guardiola. But on the contrary, we've got a situation now where Leipzig obviously are keeping Bayern on their toes. And this is a huge game for Bayern to show that they have the quality, but they have the extra gear. Because, I mean, we could also be looking at this being a serious point, because Bayern have the oldest squad in the league. They have guys like Xabi Alonso who, to be honest, I'm not sure Xabi Alonso really should be a first pick in that Bayern team anymore. I don't think he physically is in the best shape. Yeah. You have guys like Arjen Robben, and Arjen Robben has gone through his career, you know, quite inconsistent with fitness, and then he had a spell for 3 or 4 years where he was in great shape, and now it seems to be that he looks a little bit more fragile again, and Frank Ribery as well is a little bit fragile. Yeah.
Well, they definitely seem to be relying on some of the older players. Stefan, you wanted to interrupt me, so.
Yeah, I was really just going to agree with what Ross is saying, and just going to add to the fact that it has been the teams that really hassle Bayern on the pitch. They don't let them get a moment's peace that seem to get the best results, and I think that's exactly what Tuchel's going to probably try and do.
Yeah, I was going to say Dortmund could be that team quite easily, because you see the way that they attacked against Real Madrid almost to their detriment, but they were relentless against those teams, and that's kind of a style that Guardiola had. And I'm wondering, even though Ancelotti beat Guardiola before, with different players, or a Guardiola team that was this uber attacking, I wonder if Ancelotti, since he hasn't developed that system yet with this current crop of players, if this intense attack oriented style could really put Bayern on their heels.
Yeah, I think the point Ross made about Xabi Alonso is actually quite important to consider, because I was actually going through this today on Twitter, just like looking at the players that that Bayern have in central midfield, and they don't actually have a consistent, reliable player in the midfield, except maybe Vidal, who is also injury prone to not very much to a lesser extent. And I think the fact that Xavi Alonso is still getting game time is quite telling. Now, with the ball at his feet, Alonso can make any pass. But he is long gone are the days that he was anywhere near a complete player in that midfield role. Mm-hmm. And Bayern have had to rely on, this season, they've had to rely on bringing Renato Sanchez in, who's nowhere near ready to play for that team. Thiago Alcantara really blows hot and cold for me these days. When mm-hmm. he first joined, he looked like a great player. He obviously has the talent to be a really good player.
Yeah, because we mentioned this part about Xabi Alonso. Of course, he's a very important veteran presence in that team. But it seems like everybody wants Xabi Alonso to sit, it seems like. But Bayern don't play that much better when he's not in the team, yeah. I don't feel like. If everybody says that he's the problem, but it's not like they score like 5 goals and don't concede any when Xabi Alonso's not in the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only player I can really think of right now that genuinely looks like a player he could stick into that midfield and really offer things is maybe Kimmich, who, but he may be more attuned to play maybe right back for the future for Bayern. I mean, but like I said earlier on, if it's going to be a central midfielder, maybe David Alaba, Thiago Alcantara, and Xabi Alonso, I think that might be the crux of why Bayern have looked really uneasy this season when teams have got in their face. Like Ross says, they're getting a bit older. They're much slower under Carlo Ancelotti, and I think Tuchel, who we all know is a very astute tactician, will know exactly that that's the place to hit them, as Hoffenheim have done. Have as Cologne have done, and as Eintracht Frankfurt, I think as well, have done. So it's obvious. I mean, under Pep Guardiola, it never seemed as obvious where the real key mistakes are. Sure, the best teams in the world could get the ball past Bayern's high line, but under Ancelotti, it seems really clear for all to see, and I think that's exactly what Dortmund will try and do.
Yeah, Russ, what are we going to look back on this game and say? This was an important game to both of these teams, or is it just too early to determine that?
It obviously depends on the result. I mean, if Dortmund are able to peg Bayern back to 3 points at this stage of the season, then I think that must have a galvanizing effect on the squad. I mean, I was quite dismissive of Dortmund's title credentials at the beginning of the season, and I kind of expected them to blow quite cold early on in the season. But if Dortmund can get into December 3 points behind Bayern, Leipzig is how close they are to Leipzig is another issue completely. But if they can keep tight with Bayern up until the winter break, I think that's a massive boost for not just for the players, but for the club, the atmosphere around the club, because I kind of sense that there. I think Stefan, you might have touched on it earlier on, that there's this. I think there's a kind of an uncertainty about Dortmund right now. Obviously, they've lost so many players in the summer, and it kind of feels as if their place among the German kind of top echelons of the league is kind of under threat a little bit. And you kind of get the sense that they don't really know where this is going. You know, obviously, because they've lost so many players, and there's so many players with so much potential that haven't really been able to show that yet. I think if you can get within 3 points, I think Bayern would be under serious pressure going into the winter break, and that would at least give.
So Stefan, this game still means more for Dortmund than it does for Bayern.
Yeah, I think perhaps it means more for Thomas Tuchel actually, because I think one of the biggest criticisms of last season, despite an outstanding season, is that he couldn't get anywhere near Pep Guardiola.
Mm-hmm.
Pep Guardiola's Bayern, and if we consider that this Bayern team are slow but might get better under Carlo Ancelotti, which I think is a fair assumption to make, this might be the best opportunity he's going to have to get that monkey off his back and to finally get a win against Bayern. Now, I know that sounds silly to think, you know, these things don't really matter, but I think just having one focal point to be like, remember that time we beat Bayern in our home stadium, that could play real wonders for the confidence of a really young team who none of these guys, like we said earlier on, except maybe Schmelzer, I mean, we forget that Marco Reus hasn't even won a trophy with Dortmund yet, you know? Yeah. So
he hasn't won a trophy, period.
Yeah, so, you know, this entire squad, even the senior guys, except for maybe Schmelzer, have no idea of what it's like to not only win competitions, but be known as a team that can beat Bayern. Because that's when Klopp's team were at their very best, they were a team that scared Bayern Munich, and Bayern Munich couldn't beat them. And that's what Dortmund will have to do if they want to get anywhere near the top of the Bundesliga again. Yeah, you know, the 3 points important, obviously, and you know, for Bayern to lose after dropping 2 points at Hoffenheim, that will certainly put things in motion. But I'd be really interested to see if this Bayern team are as average on Saturday as we've seen them recently. Then this is probably one of the best opportunities he's going to have in some time, Thomas Tuchel, that is, to finally get that win against Bayern.
Yeah. All right. So, what are score predictions right now, real quick, Ross?
I think Dortmund will win 2-1.
Okay.
Stefan? I think it's actually going to be 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I'm going for a 1-1 draw, but I actually think it's going to be a lot more painful to watch than we all want it to be.
Yeah.
The game that I think a lot of real Bundesliga fans, I mean, obviously everybody who watches the Bundesliga is a Bundesliga fan, but the ones that are really pay attention, the one on Friday, I think we definitely should touch on this, against Leverkusen and Leipzig. So I think that's going to be a really, really exciting game. Ross, you said that was a game that you wanted to go to. What excites you most about this game?
Well, I think first and foremost it's the fact that Leipzig are in a situation where every point counts. I mean, I don't want to go overboard in terms of their championship credentials, but right now they've shown so far is positivity, and you can only take that at face value. They're not lucky in how good they are. And what's interesting about this game as well is that both teams, at least both coaches, attempt to play almost essentially exactly the same way. It's 4-4-2, it's...
Oh, I don't think they play the same way. They have the same formation, but I think they're very different teams, to be honest. I think that Leipzig, I think, is much more aggressive and has a lot more initiative than Leverkusen does. I actually don't feel like, even when I think Leverkusen does a good job, like a decent job getting the ball. Do they have any idea what they're doing with it when they get it?
I don't think right now Leverkusen have the same attacking potency as Leipzig, because Leipzig play like a bunch of kids on the football pitch, just like breathless with no effort. But I kind of agree with Ross. I think the style of football that Roger Schmidt and Heisenhüttl both want to play is the exact same, because they're both, well, Roger Schmidt actually learned to play that football under the man who is Heisenhüttl's boss right now at Leipzig, which is Ralf Rangnick. So I think I agree with Ross. They both play high pressure attacking football. Leipzig play it much better than Leverkusen
Yeah,
right now.
I think that's what I mean.
And it's going to be really interesting. I think it's going to be a fantastic game, actually. I think in terms of who's going to actually win, I think it's going to be quite hard to tell, because if you'd asked me maybe a month ago, I would be saying Leipzig 5-0. I think Leipzig still look as good as they have looked, but I think Leverkusen seemed to really turned a corner recently, and I think those two games against Tottenham really helped as well in terms of really giving them confidence as well.
How big of this? I mean, obviously, this is we're talking about Leipzig. They don't have any pressure. But Ross, it seems like if Leverkusen lose this game at home, this could. I mean, they have, like Stefan says, they have this momentum going. If they drop points at home, is this going to be a demoralizing loss for them?
No, I don't think so. I think what we've seen in the last at least two seasons, anyway, under Roger Schmidt, is that Leverkusen are prone to these real kind of roller coaster seasons where it's at different sections they can be fantastic, and at other points they can be absolutely woeful. I mean, you only have to look, last year how poor they were up until like nine games before the end of the season, when they just went on this exceptional run of form and managed to qualify again for the Champions League. I don't think if they lose this game, it would be that demoralising. I mean, I think the pressure on Roger Schmidt has probably eased a lot. I mean, certainly the results against Tottenham have helped, and obviously beating Dortmund was a massive boost for them at the time. I don't think the pressure will be on Roger Schmidt if they lose this game. I still think that the intention is to finish probably in the top four, and I still don't think it would be that far away even if they lost this game.
Yeah, I think Schmidt and probably Leverkusen would be quite happy to give Leipzig their credit and respect. I mean, Leipzig right now have the best away record in the league, which I find it's not really that surprising, but it's still quite crazy to
No,
me.
I think that's pretty surprising for a team that has
Of
never.
course, yeah, if you take the overall picture of
No, but I
Leipzig
mean,
being
think
there.
about it. For a team that just got promoted to the Bundesliga, if anything, you expect them to struggle away from home, because at home, at least they've hosted teams in their own ground before. But the fact that they're able to go somewhere else and do so well, that's pretty astounding.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting as well that despite Leverkusen's already poor form this season, they had a really, really rubbish start, and then they've lost another three or four games as well, which included Schmidt getting sent to the stands against Hoffenheim just maybe a month ago. Despite all that, they've only dropped one more point at home than Dortmund, so I think that's also worth considering. So I think what we're going to have is really some two really decent teams.
Well,
One minor point, actually, before we jump on, is
no, I
that
want to jump on this real quick because obviously you mentioned Roger Schmidt. Ross, how big of a deal do you think it's going to be that he's not going to be on the touchline for this game?
I don't think it's an issue at all. I think the impact, the influence of the manager on the touchline is probably a little bit overstated to an extent. I think Leverkusen will be
Wow, that's a big statement.
more than up for this game.
You think that a manager on the touchline does not make a difference?
I don't think it makes a massive difference, no. I don't think it's a massive
Wow,
difference.
I couldn't disagree more, to be honest.
It's weird, because I was at that game when they played Hoffenheim, where he got sent off, and it was a case of him walking maybe 5 feet behind the touchline to sit in the very first row behind, a 4 foot wall. So, and his coaching staff are all maybe an arm's length away from him. I mean, maybe he has to go sit at the top of the stands for this game. If that's the case, then I think it makes a big
Yeah,
difference.
I think it's gonna. I mean, this is. I mean, you get for a coach like Roger Schmidt, who has his own style too. He has to make sure his players have the game plan, and if he wants to change something tactically, he can't do that if he's not on the touchline.
Yeah, although the only caveat I'd add to that is when you actually watch Roger Schmidt on the sideline, which kind of contrasts with the fact that he regularly gets into fights with people, he's actually kind of calm. He's not. He's
yeah,
not,
he is.
He's,
that's
he's,
true.
He's not the kind of Pep Guardiola guy who's shouting at his players every minute.
Yeah.
He's more like the kind of guy who'll set up a team plan and he'll wait till half time before he makes the changes, if you know what I mean. Or
true.
He'll wait till half time to shout at the guys. So, in that regard, I can see what Ross is saying. So, like, for example, if it was, like, say, Pep Guardiola or Thomas Tuchel or Nagelsmann, perhaps, or even Heisenhüttl, actually,
yeah.
But these guys are constantly, you know, trying to line up their back lines during the game. Schmidt's less of that. He doesn't do as much of that. So that might, you know, that might lessen the blow of him missing. But I think we're going to have to, like I said, I think it's going to be a really exciting game. I can't wait for him Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not their classicer, but I think we've got two teams who really just enjoy attacking. It'd be really interesting as well, I think, to see. Every time I watch Leverkusen, I'm always enjoy watching Kevin Campbell, the way he just floats around the pitch.
Kevin Campbell. So, Ross, I've been very impressed with Kevin Campbell this season. Have you been equally impressed?
I think he's had a good season. I mean, I think certainly in the last 9 games he was fantastic last season, but, I mean,
this because I think he hasn't been able to establish this kind of form before, right? And this is, I mean, this is his form. He basically, Schmidt can plug him in anywhere, and he is going to make the team better.
Yeah.
And that is something that probably you couldn't have said coming into the season.
He's got a huge amount of history with, obviously, Leverkusen himself, because he was a kid there. But, of course, under Schmidt, and Schmidt obviously is more than happy to trust him, just do his thing on the pitch, and that's very much what he does. But I think it might be interesting. One of the things I'll be intrigued to see is the fitness of players like Henriques, Bernd Leno, Jonathan Tah, and Kevin Volland, who all played against Italy on Tuesday night. They might be sharper because, you know, they played and then they're back into a game. Especially Kevin Volland, who actually looked quite good up front, even though he didn't score. So I think Leverkusen will be, they might actually get a boost off of that. But you know, maybe turning now to Leipzig, maybe. I couldn't be more impressed with Leipzig right now. Heisenhüttl as well. You could maybe argue he's been the best coach in the Bundesliga in 2016, in my opinion. And he's got this team that look fantastic. The only player I think that they might be missing is Oliver Burke, who maybe seems to be struggling with a cold or a flu, but he hasn't really been playing too much recently anyway. So, and the whole point of Leipzig is they've got so much depth.
Yeah.
So,
especially in the attacking third. So
yeah, they've got players like, you know, Timo Werner and Poulsen and Forsberg on the left as well, who these guys just can't seem to stop scoring. And Leverkusen are by no means a defence that looks set up to stop that.
Yeah.
So we might very well have a game that's just going to be who can score the most, which good old fashioned Bundesliga showdown.
Ross, what are you expecting from this game?
I'm actually not sure. I could probably see a score draw, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stefan?
I think Leipzig will win, actually. I think Leverkusen have looked better recently, but I think simply Leipzig have the better team right now. If Chicharito was on real hot fire right now,
yeah, it would be hard to pick against Leverkusen.
Yeah, and I think Leverkusen look much better than they have recently. But they still don't look at their absolute fighting best. Although I will add that if there's one thing Schmidt is good at, it's setting his teams up against teams who are better than them. He used to have a decent record against Bayern. He obviously beat Dortmund early in the season, and they got good results against Tottenham as well. So if he's willing to give the respect to Leipzig to say, okay, maybe they have the better team, and he sets his team up as a result, we might actually see Leverkusen get a really solid result. But I think my money would be on Leipzig.
Yeah, my money's on Leipzig too. And I actually, if it is possible to bet on Leipzig being top of the league after match day 11, I am very, very tempted to make that bet. But yeah, so there's a lot of great games this weekend. Of course, there's Gladbach against Cologne. That's a big derby. Stefan, obviously, you think that's a big game for André Schubert.
Yeah, it's a game he probably has to win, actually. I mean, I'm a big fan of Schubert's, but at least I was. Yeah. But the Champions League form has just turned on its head.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the home games that are keeping him in the job right now, so he has to win that one.
Yeah, so he definitely has to win that one. There's there's even the game at the bottom of the table, Darmstadt against Ingolstadt. That's going to be an interesting game as well. So a lot to watch out for this weekend, but now we want to shout the stuff we want to from the Tribuna. As I will go first this time, since I seem to have the most, I've seemed to be the most vehement about my shot from the Tribuna this week. I know that this obviously this international break, I think a lot of people are getting sick of them, of the international break, but not a lot of people have given a solution to having the World Cup qualifying system. So I think obviously the World Cup qualifying system has to stay there. And it's really tough because there's every confederation has their own thing. So, and that's going to be the way it is. So, of course, you could, if you're going to hate on international breaks, then you have to hate on international football in general, I think. Because no matter if maybe since Germany was the defending World Cup champion, maybe they shouldn't have to go through the qualifying system. Maybe the semifinalists, all the semifinalists shouldn't have to go through a qualifying system. Whatever. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be changed, but these qualifiers have to happen. And I know that people like Thomas Müller, obviously we talked about that before, saying, why am I playing against San Marino? Well, San Marino should have a shot to qualify for the World Cup. And maybe the way that UEFA doesn't, they don't do it the right way. Maybe there's a different model to do it. But all these countries have to have a chance to qualify for the World Cup, because that is what that's what football is about. Is it's the world game. We have to include everybody. Now, of course, the way that it is now, I think there's people complain that it's all about the monetary reasons. But by the same token, we're still getting a lot of football, and I think that's what football fans want. Maybe it's that there's an argument for too much football, of course, but I still believe that the purest form of football is actually at the international level. I think there's a lot less egos, depending on the team, of course. I mean, the Netherlands have always had their issue, but I think that egos can go into the background sometimes, and there's a lot more nationalism, and there's I think even the common Joe on the street will be able to pay attention to it. I think so. Unless you're going to get rid of international football entirely, you have to have this qualifying system, and you can change it if you want, but it still has to be there.
Hashtag rant over.
Yeah.
No, I can see your point. I don't think people were really. Yeah, I don't think the hate's really towards the international football as a whole. It's just there has to be some kind of solution to this intertwined system with the regular season, because that just seems to piss people off.
Yeah.
Me specifically, maybe. Yeah. So yeah, I kind of agree with you, and I'm sure Ross doesn't really care either way, do you, Ross?
No, I think asking two Scots about their thoughts on international football right now is probably not the best thing.
Very mean, very mean.
All right, so then in that case, Stefan, what do you want to shout from the Tribuna this week?
I'll go for something positive. Frankfurt are playing Werder Bremen on Sunday, and while we are all picking up the pieces of the Klassiker and some of the other great games on Saturday, they will most likely very professionally and very cold-heartedly go about annihilating Werder Bremen with the same steely, guile look that Niko Kovac seems to pull off every week. Probably the most handsome manager, I think, in the Bundesliga, in my opinion.
Solid argument for that, for sure.
He looks a lot like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, if Joseph Gordon-Levitt just had a little more testosterone.
Yeah.
So
the Croatian of Joseph Gordon-Levitt, according to Stefan Bienkowski.
Now, here's the thing, right? If results go their way, Kovac and Eintracht Frankfurt can actually move up to fourth place with a win on Sunday, yeah. Which is just nuts. Frankfurt above Dortmund, Frankfurt above Schalke, above Leverkusen, blah 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 blah. We cannot stress enough how quickly and how emphatically Kovac has turned things around at Frankfurt. This is a team that were almost relegated last season. He came in January and things didn't seem to change anywhere near anything. They didn't seem to change at all. He managed to win on the last week of the season. We all said, okay, lucky guy, it's probably not going to work out next season. He's had a full summer, and I really can't stress enough the work that he's done with his team. And as a Scotland fan, if they were to hopefully sack the current coach, if I had the salary that Scotland could maybe offer players, I would be going straight to Frankfurt with it and trying to tempt Niko Kovac, because in my opinion, the work he's done has been outstanding. And for Frankfurt to move up to fourth potentially this weekend is just incredible. I know we've had a lot of minnows doing really well this season, but I think Kovac deserves just as much credit as any. So that's my shout.
Ross?
My shout is about Mainz, and unfortunately, it's going to be a negative shout. I know that
and
we don't
you're
like.
Laughing at my negative shout earlier in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to join the haters club about Mainz, but unfortunately,
a haters
got
club
a beat.
About Mainz.
I don't think it's a haters club. I think it's a club.
Davis is a hater. unfortunately, though, I've got some beef with the Carnival Club. Defensively this season, they have been absolutely shocking. They have conceded the fifth highest number of goals in the Bundesliga with 18. But recently in particular, they've had some absolute scuddings. Anderlecht in particular. I should probably translate what a scudding is.
To
audiences not particularly familiar with this tongue. But they have had some really bad results. They lost three as well at Schalke. They went out in the DFB Pokal to go out of Fürth recently. They've had some issues. And I saw Martin Schmidt talking about this during the international break, that things haven't really clicked for them this season. They've obviously had to change goalkeeper. They've lost Baumgartlinger in midfield. They've got a little bit of a different balance about them this season. But, I certainly don't think they'll be in relegation trouble. But it's a bit of a concern how fragile they are at the back. And they are fragile in comparison with even Darmstadt, Ingolstadt and the clubs at the bottom. They need to sort that out eventually. I think they will. They've got the nous there with Martin Schmidt as the coach. But, I think certainly the Anderlecht game was a real kind of sign that this team has got a long way to go if it wants to be a Europa League side. Obviously, it doesn't. Obviously, it's not. It's a modest club. It's not got a lot of resources, but they really need to tighten up that defensive unit.
Last year, their midfield was Julian Baumgartlinger and Danny Latza. Baumgartlinger obviously left for Leverkusen. Latza was even looked at by Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp as a holding midfielder. Now their holding midfield is Suat Serdar, a 19-year-old, and Jean-Philippe Jebaman, who has never played in the Bundesliga before, and he's also a 20-year-old. So that is to be honest, if you mentioned their defensive issues, you could probably boil it down to that.
Yeah. I remember watching Baumgartlinger at Leverkusen earlier this season. I actually didn't think he was up to much in terms of the pace, but he's certainly picked up since then. He's proved to be quite useful for Leverkusen, but I mean, the hole that he's left in that Mainz team is just huge. And like Ross says, they're not a team that can just simply go out and buy another player. They've still got the attacking players like Mali and Muto still there as well. But
Cordoba, we talked about
Cordoba,
this.
Of course.
Cordoba, yeah. He has had to play every single game.
Yeah.
And you can tell that, I mean, even though Schmidt obviously did that training in the preseason, he's just gassed.
Well, I was going to mention this actually, because obviously you mentioned this in the preseason that they were out in Colorado, doing like almost like the high altitude training.
Mm-hmm.
It looks as though that's just completely backfired because the whole team look exhausted this season already, which is not.
I think you got to factor in obviously this European campaign that they have. I mean, that's a massive toll that it's going to take on the squad, especially when I think actually Thursday Sunday is more intense than playing, you know, the kind of Tuesday Saturday routine. I think that's a real kick in the teeth for Mainz. But at least after the winter break, they'll have time to recuperate and at least put in a good second half of the season.
Yeah. If you know any Mainz fans, I know that there's probably not many that you can have access to. But if you know any Mainz fans, just give them a hug.
Yeah, I need a hug.
I think they need a hug. I don't think I don't think we're in the haters club. I think we're just in the club.
Hamburg fans will be listening to this right now saying, where the fuck is our hug?
Yeah.
You know, where have we been all season? Mainz lose a few games and they get a hug and we've been in torrential crisis for the entire year.
All right, so that'll do it for this week's episode. Obviously, the international break is over, so we're going to have a great weekend after the international break. If you like our podcast, by the way, go onto iTunes and give us a nice, friendly recommendation. Obviously, they use that in their algorithms as they use that to help determine how well podcasts perform. So, if you like it, tell us if you like it and by writing us a review. If you have any questions that you want us to address on the show, you can always send us a tweet at Tribuna Podcast. And I also have to mention, check out our Facebook page. We don't just use it as putting our podcast up there. We also sometimes like to write some pieces as well. So Besides that, thank you for listening. Thanks to Ross from Spain. You can follow him at RossDunbar93. Stefan Biankowski is much easier, S. Biankowski. And mine is the most annoying Twitter handle of all, Davis_VanOpdorp. Check us out, and we'll hope to hear from you next week.